Welcome to Maseches Gittin, Perek Dal, Mishnah Gimel, Chapter 4, Mishnah 3. Because the previous Mishnah discussed takanas, special institutions, that Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin, Rabbi Gamliel the Elder, instituted Netikon Ha'olam, to kind of save the world and make sure things don't go bad, so the Mishnah continues with additional takanas, additional institutions that became part of basic Jewish law. Says the Mishnah number 1, Ein almana nifras, a widow is not able to be paid from her ksuba, for her wedding document, which obligates her to receive a certain amount of money when her husband passes, minichse yisaimim, from the property that fell to the orphans as an inheritance from her husband, ela b'shvua, unless she makes, and she takes an oath, she makes a vow that she never received any part of the ksuba. Nimnu, so the Jewish court stopped milahashbia from making her swear, because she was justified herself swearing falsely and saying, since I take care of the kids, I'm able to swear falsely and say I didn't get, even though I did get something, because really I should be getting more than I got. Hiskin Ram Gamliel Hazakin, Ram Gamliel Hazakin came along because of this. Instead of making a shavua, a vow, she should make a neder, which means a woman says that the bread should be prohibited to me if I received any part of my ksuba already, and then she could collect her ksuba. Because since bread is something that the woman eats constantly, it's going to bother her. It's going to nag her conscience if she lied, and therefore she won't lie. So he switched it from a shvua. A shvua is just where you swear that something is true, to a neder, where you prohibit something upon yourself if what you're saying is untrue. Second institution, ha'edim chaysen ha'get. The witnesses sign on the get, mipnei tikun ha'olam, because of, to save the world, if you want to call that. That means to say like this. Initially, the Edom, the witnesses, they just make their signature, and it was difficult to know from the signature what the names of the Edom were. Therefore, they instituted that the Edom, the witnesses, should sign on the get their signature, but also they should make their name clearly legible, that in a time of need, they can somehow figure out who these Edom were and make sure that they're authentic. And if the husband comes and says, oh, it's a forged get, we can verify it and know who the actual witnesses were. And then the final institution of this Mishnah is a more famous one, and that's the institution of Hillel. Hillel instituted Pruzbul, a Pruzbul document, mipnei tikkun ha'olam, to save the world. That means to say, Hillel realized that there was the following issue in the Jewish nation. The wealthy people stopped lending the poor people money, because we know the halacha is that when the Shemitah comes, when the sabbatical year comes, it abolishes and annuls all outstanding loans. So it would come out like this: if you were a lender, and you didn't want to lend because if you didn't get paid back by the time the Shemitah year came about, you'd never end up getting paid. So Hillel got up and he instituted a concept called a Pruzbul. A Pruzbul is a document that says that the lender gives over to the Jewish court his loan, and the court has the right to collect that even if Shemitah passes. We do that nowadays before the Shemitah, the sabbatical year comes. We write a Pruzbul so that if there's any outstanding loans, we can still collect them. The word Pruzbul, the Gemara teaches us, is actually a conjugation of the word Prusbuli Ubuti, a institution that was made for the benefit of the lenders, the wealthy people and the poor people. It's an institution for the wealthy people so they shouldn't lose money, and for the poor people that they should have somebody that they could borrow money from. Let's see one more Mishnah Dalet. Eved Shenishpa, an Eved Kenani, a non-Jewish slave that belongs to a Jew that was taken captive, Upita'uhu, and somebody redeemed him after his master had ever given up hope of getting him back. Imlishum Eved, if the fellow that redeemed him did it so that he could be his own personal Eved, his own personal servant, Ishtabit, then he remains a servant to the fellow that redeemed him, and he doesn't go to his original owner. Imlishum Ben Chayrin, but if he redeemed him to be a free man, La Yishtabit, he does not become a slave or a servant to anyone, not to the previous owner because he gave up hope from him, and not for the fellow that redeemed him because he redeemed him to be a free man. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees, and he says, Benkach o Benkach, whether this way or whether that way, whether you redeemed him to be a servant or a free person, Yishtabed, he still isn't considered, has to be subservient or enslaved to his initial master. So the reason for this is because a person shouldn't, what's going to happen is that every single slave is going to try to get themselves somehow to be taken captive, and they'll no longer have to be a slave to their original rabbi, original master. A servant that his master designated him as payment for a particular loan, and now his original master frees him. Shuras hadin, by law, the servant doesn't have to pay anything to the lender, because since he was freed, he doesn't have to pay anything. However, to save the world, they made an institution that kaifin as rabbi, we force the second master, which is the borrower of oisai ben chayrin, and he frees him. V'kaisev, and now the servant, who's a free person, has to write, obligate himself, shtar al damav, a document that obligates him to pay his value to his master. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees and says, "Ena kaisev ela mishachar." The servant doesn't write his value and obligation. On the contrary, the fellow that freed him, which is his first master, he has to write to the lender a document that he owes him the money, because since he freed him, it ended up happening that the borrower is not going to get his money, and therefore he's the one that's ultimately responsible to pay. Wishing you a stunning, wonderful upcoming week.